Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember the last week or two, we've talked a little bit about the Spirit of God coming upon, the anointing coming upon, and so on. And we showed Jesus as an example that even Jesus himself, it really depended a lot on how the audience would participate and respond or not. Amen. So I invite you, get ready. Be expecting. Let's go. Amen. I have had folks say, boy, the last couple of weeks, been some strong anointings, good services. Yeah. Y'all helped bring that. It's not just the pastor and his preparation time. That's important. By the leading of the Spirit of God, I have been teaching about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. I think our very first message was ever-present help. The point being that there's just nowhere you can go where the Holy Spirit is not there and available. For today, let's start at John 14 and verse 16. Well, I'll start with a title. Sometimes you like a title. Here's your title. Don't overlook the Spirit inside. Don't overlook the Spirit inside. We can be so impressed by the Spirit upon. You're in a church service and the Spirit of God moves and comes upon the preacher and upon the people and dramatic things start happening. We can be so impressed with the Spirit upon, as in the gifts of the Spirit. For instance, if we would have tongues interpretation, if we would have a word of prophecy, if we would have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, if we would have discerning of spirits and angels are seen in the room, or demonic spirits, and we cast a spirit out of somebody, and they're radically changed, and you can see it. Whoo! Spectacular stuff, right? Wonderful stuff. Should we have it? Yes. But don't overlook the Spirit already within you and that ministry. And I think in our gathering in church, I think sometimes in our desires of, if we really want to make progress, we think we haven't made progress, maybe in our personal lives, or we haven't made progress in our church until some of these big things start happening, right? I'm saying be careful there. It's kind of like you have a very, very faithful friend who helps you through everything, and then some celebrity comes along and gives you a token of advice. And all you can think about is how magnificent that one-time visit from that celebrity or something. Yeah, I shook his hand. When you have faithful beside you all the time, it's easy to overlook people like that, and it shouldn't be. So I'm saying don't overlook the Spirit within you. It could be things like, oh, Lord, I just don't know what to do. Help me, Lord. I need a word from heaven. And you come to church hoping the pastor has a word of knowledge by the Spirit and can tell you what to do, when all along inside you is the Spirit who knows exactly what you should do. Amen. John 14, 16 and 17, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. How long is he going to abide with you?
Forever.
Is there ever a moment when he's not abiding with you?
No.
There's not. Verse 17, that the Spirit of truth. Oh, let's stop there for a second. We live in a confusing time. And I don't suppose that there was ever a point in human history that wasn't a confusing time. But people are confused. What's a man? What's a woman? Just as an example, which is the easiest thing, yet they're confused about it, right? If we would just have clear sight of what's true, we'd have direction in most of our lives just from that, just from knowing what's true. Lord, you know, okay, I'll touch politics for a second. You listen to these folks and you go, how do you even know who's telling the truth? I'll tell you how. You have in you the Spirit of truth. I can listen to them Now, I happen to do some reading and know some things also, but I can listen. Let me turn around. You can listen to them and check with the Spirit inside you and know what is truth and who's telling truth and who's fabricating and embellishing and flat out lying. I'm tempted to say 99% of everything you need is just knowing what's the truth. Not just in politics, but how do you, financial decisions. Lord, should I do this? Should I do this? Spirit of Truth knows and will give you truth. I used to, from time to time, hear somebody, "Oh, praise the Lord, we got a new car. And the Lord gave us, you know, a nice interest rate," and so on. And I'm thinking to myself, anybody can sign the paper. It may have been God leading you, and it may not have. And in many cases, it turns out to be a serious burden upon someone's life. They get out ahead of their faith, and then, oh, we're upside down on the car, and we got no money, and I got to make these payments. Pastor, can the church help me make my car payment? I'll tell you the answer up front, no. Can the church help me make my cell phone payment? No. There was a time when none of us had cell phones. We survived. You mean I can't have a cell phone? Oh, yeah, maybe. It might be. But anyway, just knowing the truth. You go to the doctor, and he says things, right? Does he know? Maybe. Maybe not. But the Spirit of Truth knows. Just knowing the truth. First of all, it relieves you of so much worry and concern and confusion and fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. A sound mind is one that can discern and find truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. Yeah, but I wish the pastor would lay hands on me, prophesy over me, give me a word of knowledge, then I'd know what to do. The Spirit in you already knows what to do, and He's the Spirit of Truth, and He can tell you, and you can find out. 17 again, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. Do you know Him? You know Him. For He dwells in you and will be in you. We've looked at this verse before. When we're born again, the Spirit of God comes and lives in us. In and upon are two different things. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells where?
In you.
He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. In you. Now, we often refer to this verse meaning that the life of the Spirit can bring life into your mortal body, the part of you that will die. And that's right. But more generally, the Spirit is always within you and He gives you life. The Spirit is within you and He gives you life. He gives you truth. He gives you life. Knowing what to do is part of life. Knowing how to respond, knowing how to think about something. If we have discouragement and despair, despondency, all that kind of thing, we are not listening to the Spirit giving life. He'll show us how to think. He'll show us what to say. He'll show us how. Hallelujah. You have. I mean, think about that for a second. You think on it enough, it'll get you up and running around the room excited, like you won the lottery. You have living within you the Spirit that gives life. If there's something in our bodies, and of course we age, but there's something in our bodies that needs attention, needs focus, needs something, He knows what it is, and He can give you life concerning that. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Well, the first part is enough for our purposes. We all want the power. You shall receive power. And you see the association when the Spirit comes upon you. In you and upon you are two different things. The Spirit does not come upon all the time. Because when we're talking about the Spirit upon, it is for manifestations of power, the working of the gifts of the Spirit, the working in one's calling. You could think anointing, you could think gifts. Well, hopefully this morning, the Spirit helps me, comes upon me in my calling and anointing to teach the Word and pastor the flock this morning. But that's only for a couple of hours once a week right now. What do I do the rest of the time? The Spirit does not come upon me to live my life. He's within me for that. I have no greater ability to read my Bible than you do. I have no greater ability to pray and seek God than you do. My calling, anointing, the Spirit coming upon me doesn't cover that. I have no great anointing to resist the devil. I have no great anointing to put down fear. I'm no different than anybody else. Now, I wish the Spirit could come upon me and boom, you know, I'm just never tempted to fear. Having said that, concerning fear, you know, we already said together one of the scriptures, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So just reflecting on, oh, I have the spirit of a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. That'll bring you out. That can bring you out. But there are perhaps occasions in our lives where we do need some help and some spirit upon. And I think it surely would be those moments when Pastor Sandy went down that I had the Spirit of God come upon me and help me. And fear was so tangible, it was like a creature crawling up my leg, and I could feel it and tell you right where it was, and it was going for my throat. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it does go for your throat. And you might think, so it can choke you? No, so that words come out. So that words of fear come out. Don't let it get to your throat. Take care of it. Put it down. In that moment, in that hospital in Texas, I'm pretty sure the Spirit of God did come upon me, assist me, and help me. And I answered from the Holy Spirit and my spirit. If you'll check in your heart, instead of saying, oh, why did this happen? We can't afford this. Everything seems to be going wrong. Those were not words from the Spirit within. No. It's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, you go to the mire here, and it could come out of your mouth. Can't believe the price of these things. That was not words from the Spirit.
Right. Amen.
Words from the Spirit, if you stop and check yourself, Holy Ghost, what should I say right here? It would be, my God supplies all my need, no matter the price. According to His riches in glory, not according to my riches, according to His riches in glory. See, you can't expect a word of knowledge and heaven and angels to open up and come down and descend upon you. It's okay, buy the chicken. Or let's maybe lift it a little higher. Maybe it's been a while since you had a nice steak. It's okay. Get the ribeye.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, just to stuff it in the devil's face, you need to pass up the chicken and go right to over here to, well, you got the chuck steak. No, 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 no. Let's get over here. Strip, ribeye, T-bone, porterhouse. Now we're in the right category. And you may think, no, I shouldn't do that. That's splurging. That's not, no, devil, look at this. We are having T-bone today. Amen. That spirit that's in you, abides in you forever, knows the truth and knows what you should be believing for, knows what you should be saying. We too often are looking for a manifestation of the Spirit upon us. You have a prayer time. Lord, just show me what to do. Just show me what to do. And we go outside looking to see if it's written in the sky. When all the while, there's something on the inside that if you get quiet enough, you go, maybe we should, right? Don't overlook that. Remember, the Spirit upon is mostly as the Spirit wills. Sometimes a situation, you know, you can believe God for a manifestation of the Spirit. And by the way, in church, we should be believing that God will move. We should be believing that there will be, as appropriate, tongues interpretation, word of knowledge might come through the speaker, and so on. We should be believing for those things. But if we don't have it on a given Sunday, doesn't mean we've missed it. And Pastor just didn't have it today. He didn't prophesy, not a lick. How do you know that I'm not prophesying this very moment in teaching this teaching? I did receive it by the Spirit of God. So when needed, the power is available to come upon us. The Spirit does come upon and give us what we need. But I wrote a number. 99.9% of the time. You may think that's too high. I don't know. No, it might be too low. 99.9% of the time, it is not the Spirit coming upon us that we need, but the cooperation on our part with the Spirit who's already in us. He's the same Spirit. When the Spirit comes upon in power, it's not a higher ranking or different Spirit. It's the same Spirit that's already within you. So when He comes upon, He doesn't know something He didn't already know as the Spirit within you. Now, sometimes the consequences of a wrong move can be so severe that God will, in a more dramatic fashion, talk to people and address people. Through the years, there have been individuals who have said things like this to me. I don't know if I've ever heard the voice of God in my life. And they're thinking wrong. They're thinking like over a loudspeaker. This is God. And I'm speaking to you, you know. Those same people, I can look at their lives and know that they've heard the voice of God countless times by the outcomes in their life, by the actions that they're taking. They're following God. And so don't think it has to be that super dramatic thing. 99.9% of the time, it will be simply cooperating with the Spirit that is within you. And I promise you, the Spirit wants to reveal truth to you even more than you want to find it out. Sometimes we suffer through trouble and problem and even say, I don't know what to do. And then finally we go, oh, maybe I should ask the Spirit of God, what should I do? Why don't we just all the time and always? Why don't we live with this awareness? Why don't we live in conversation, so to speak, that any time, any moment, if I ever wake up in the middle of the night, which I do sometimes, you know, I have conversation because the Spirit's not asleep and He don't care if I got to get up and go to the bathroom. He goes with me. Kind of like the girls. I got to go to the bathroom. Any of you got to go to the bathroom? And they all go, right? Anyway. The Spirit is always within you, and He has the truth. It requires cooperation with the Spirit, looking to Him. We often shortchange the great advantage we have with the Spirit within us. Do you know that's a great advantage? If you think of King David and all of the Old Testament saints, Moses and so on, Elijah, all of those, they did not have the Spirit within. All they had is the Spirit with, and when they followed God, then the Spirit could come upon. It was David who wrote in the 51st Psalm, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Well, that was a possibility in his case, because the Spirit would come in an anointing upon David as prophet and king. And David disobeyed, as everybody does from time to time. And in his repentance, this was his request, don't take your spirit from me. It was a possibility. But now, being born again, the spirit within and abiding forever, see, that's not a prayer for us anymore. And years ago, there was a popular Christian song, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. It's an unscriptural prayer for a new covenant, New Testament believer. Now, we can turn from the presence of the Spirit. We can reject, ignore all of that, the presence of the Spirit. But God can't take His Spirit from us. It's an advantage. And anybody who teaches some sort of a victimhood, whether that be spiritually or culturally, there's a whole industry of every kind of subgroup of our culture. You're a victim. These people have oppressed you. You're a victim. That is a doctrine of a demon, doctrines of devils. No, you've been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. And the only thing holding people back is their own way they see themselves. Am I saying there's no opposition? Oh, we all have opposition, one form or another. But don't you dare see yourself disadvantaged or a victim. If you see yourself as a victim and disadvantaged, you will be disadvantaged. Don't shortchange the great advantage we have with the Spirit within us. We think we need a great manifestation of a spiritual gift when all we need is to look to the Spirit that resides on the inside. Lord, I really need a word of knowledge here. God, just tell me what to do. I've been suffering. Oh, it's terrible, God. Tell me what to do. If you just tell me what to do, if you just talk to me. You can see little children crying so hard, they're not hearing what you're saying. And you're saying, come here. I'll comfort you, help you fix it. But they're screaming and crying and maybe running around. We do that. Just quiet and look to the Spirit on the inside. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit, and all the context around this would be great to look at, just in the interest of time, we're not going to. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. Verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. And we'll stop there. Now, this is what was said by the Spirit of God to the children of Israel after the rebellion in the wilderness and when they were about to enter in to the promised land. And actually, I think it first appears in the Psalms. But notice this today. When is it a good day to hear the voice of God? Today. This tells me something. Today, if you will hear His voice. This tells me He's speaking every day. And people talk about a season of, oh God, I'm just going to have to pray and pray and pray and pray. Well, there's a time for praying. There's a time for praying at some length. There's a time to draw out an answer. But notice, you can hear the Spirit of God today. Today is the day. You can get your answer today. Why? The one with the truth is already on the inside. We don't have to go somewhere and find Him. We don't have to pay somebody. We don't have to do some great exploit. You know, we don't have to do some penance. The voice of the Spirit is in us. He is in us speaking today. And notice it said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Any day we don't hear the voice of the Spirit is a day we harden our hearts and a day of rebellion. God is speaking in your heart to you today. And if you won't hear Him today, it's rebellion. It's a hardened heart. We're not going to go there, but remember the prophet looking for God to speak? A whirlwind came through and broke up the rocks, and then a fire came through and burned everything, but the voice of God was not in the wind, not in the fire. But it says, but then a still, small voice. That voice of the Spirit is almost always the still, small voice. And if you're looking for the fire, if you're looking for the wind breaking rocks, you won't hear them. You won't hear them. Today, you know, who was it? Naaman goes to the prophet to be healed of leprosy, goes to his house and, you know, presents his appeal. I need to be cured of leprosy. And the prophet sends out the servant and tells him, go dip in the Jordan 7 times, right? And he gets angry. And describes to Naaman, to his servant later, describes to him, I thought he would have come out and waved his hand over me or something. You understand the story. He's about to miss his answer because he's looking for something at his level, at his station in life. He's an important somebody. Seems like the prophet should come out and show him that courtesy. Seems like something dramatic should happen. Well, I'll tell you, we do that too. And we miss the answer of God because it seems like he should come out and wave his hand over me or something. Today, there's a daily voice, a daily presence, a daily witness of the Spirit available within the believer at all times. Yet too often we live as if we have no such Spirit within us. Now, if you look forward to gathering as a church, good. But from time to time, you know, you hear people say, oh, I just really need to get to church. I need to hear from God. Well, you got your Bible, don't you? You can hear from God. You got the Spirit of God on the inside, don't you? Yeah. You know what it is sometimes about church? It's this one thing. It takes you out of your normal routine and distractions and people around you. And now you're a little bit better able to hear in your own heart. In fact, I'll tell you this. I'm teaching from the Word, but what you're getting, what light and revelation is coming to you, is not me and my words. It's what the Spirit is illuminating to you through these words. If you're getting anything, it's the voice of the Spirit on the inside of you. And that's how it is that I can preach one message and all these different people hear different things. That revelation of the Spirit, that light from the Spirit, that voice of the Spirit on the inside of you does that. Too often we think we need some spectacular, supernatural gift and power to come upon us. Let's see, Brother Hagin used to say this a particular way. People too often are looking for the spectacular, miss the supernatural. The supernatural voice of God often is something quiet on the inside. It's not spectacular. But it's no less God, and it's no less supernatural and divine. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing. Now remember, we've said that you can think of anointing, power, gifting, some of those things. We're kind of talking about the same thing here. The anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Now, there's been misunderstanding about that where people say, see, I don't need any man to teach me. The Holy Ghost teaches me. Well, then what in the world are the 5 ministry gifts that He gave to the body? What are they for? One of them is teacher. But what this is talking about is you have the Spirit inside you, the Spirit of truth at all times. And you can find your way through things by that Spirit. And you don't need to go talk to mama. And cousins don't need to go talk to the banker and don't need to go, all kind of people. I need to go talk to so-and-so so I know what to do. You've got the Spirit in you that knows and teaches you. Now, it might not hurt to talk to a banker or somebody that's good in financial things. Might not hurt to talk to mama. Then again, it could hurt a lot. Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Yes, but which counselors are we talking about? This scripture's been twisted a bunch, but we'll read on here. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, Spirit of truth, right? and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, having that revelation and that anointing or that presence of the Spirit teaching you works when you're abiding in him. If you don't stay abiding in him and following his ways, you'll get further and further away from that anointing and get to a place where you don't even hear the Spirit of God anymore. But the anointing that's abiding in us, or the Spirit within us, is available to teach us in every circumstance what we should do. But again, we have to look to that anointing. Being a pastor, there's one man in particular in my memory that came and asked some particular questions about leading in his life and how things should go and related to a particular teaching of the Bible. And after I kind of answered from the scriptures, showed him a couple scriptures and so on, he says, oh, okay, well, yeah, Pastor so-and-so says this, and Pastor so-and-so, and I figured out he's making the rounds to the different pastors he knows and surveying them and going to come up with an answer if there's some consensus of the various pastors. And I realize he's not going to get any answer whatsoever. He's looking to pastors to do his work of being led by the Spirit himself. And I realize I just wasted some time. I would always be willing to waste some time with some people because you don't know who you can help and who you can't, but this is what we're talking about here. You don't need to go to 10 people and ask them what to do. There may be two or three or one that would be a good counselor to you to check with. And by the way, people, when they want to check with somebody, almost always go to someone that they know will agree with what they already want. Oh, I ain't going to go ask him because he always disagrees with me. Yeah, but that one may be right. There was a time when one of the kings of Israel and Judah, when the kingdom was divided and they were facing a battle, and you know, all these prophets said, put on the horns and God will deliver them and give you. And the king that was closer to God says, yeah, but isn't there a prophet of God that we can seek? Well, there's this guy, but he always prophesies against me and I don't like him. And he says, well, I won't move until we bring that guy. I'm forgetting names and which prophet it was, but the story I'm telling is correct. It's in your Bible. And so he comes, and when he comes at the request of this king, all of the others tell him, look, all the prophets have said so-and-so, and do us a favor and agree with them and prophesy victory to the kings. And so he does. And the king closer to God says, come on now, I want you to be truthful. I know you're just, you know, in sarcasm. And he says, okay, this day you're going to die. Today. And told him the truth on that. And the other king took him immediately and imprisoned that prophet. So the first king, what was he doing? Getting all the prophets that'll tell him what he wants to hear. We do that. We get the counselors that tell us what we want to hear. When that's not always right. And maybe that's why we reject the voice of the Spirit of God on the inside of us too, because he doesn't tell us what we want to hear. Let's go to John 16:13. I don't know, do you want the truth, even if it hurts a little bit, but it brings success and advancement? They usually mean it by physical exercise, but there's that expression, no pain, no gain. Sometimes we must go through the pain. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. Now, isn't that what word of knowledge, word of wisdom is? We're looking for the power of the Spirit to move, and someone would prophesy by the Spirit of God and tell us things to come? Boy, I know there's itching ears for that in the body of Christ. And this last election we had, presidential election, you know, there was all kinds of prophets about, you know, there's going to be a turnaround and Trump's going to come into office. And I heard all of that and just something on the inside of me told me, no, no, that's not the Spirit of God. And there are certain people that built followings and made names for themselves and none of it came to pass. never was going to come to pass. So we have an itching for that. But look here. The Spirit within you will guide you into all truth, and He will tell you things to come. You don't need prophet so-and-so. There is a legitimate ministry of the prophet. And for a lot of people, they don't even know what it is when they talk about it. But I'm not saying there's not a legitimate office of the prophet. There is. Maybe I'll put it this way. If someone has to call themselves prophet, they probably aren't. If they announce themselves, I'm prophet so-and-so. So the Spirit within you, the Spirit within you that you carry every day, today, if you will hear His voice, He will tell you things to come. Amen. He will tell you things to come. Years ago, not all that many, but one of the times I was walking through our yard and our landscape, and we got 2 acres of wildflowers, you know, that Sandy planted just for our enjoyment, beautiful, wonderful, other places of flowers and garden. And without her, it all went, you know, just. The wildflower patch does pretty good because it doesn't require anything from you anyway. But anyway, I was just in one of those times hurting, I think within the first year of her injury, just hurting and walking and praying. And I said, Lord, she made this place so beautiful. It misses her so much. I'm not sure how I got this, but it's like she reigned over this place and made it her dominion and made it her world and our grounds around our house and so on. Just beautiful, attractive, and all that kind of stuff. And I heard the Spirit of God say on the inside of me, He said, the queen of the realm will walk these grounds again. He told me things to come. Now you can describe bad circumstances without being a complainer and a whiner about it. God don't hear whining and complaining. Read the Psalms, you'll hear David say some stuff. But again, read the Psalms, David will turn it around. By the end of that Psalm, he's rejoicing and glorifying God. So it's not just whining and moaning and complaining. But that Spirit inside you will tell you things to come. Amen. And the queen of the realm will walk the gardens again. He said, walk.
I will walk.
You will walk. That's right. Yeah. The queen in my home will walk the realm again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The vast majority of the time, we don't need something spectacular. We need someone who can guide us into all truth. And that's the Spirit of God that's within you. Amen. Romans 8:16. How is it that He talks to you? For those who say, I don't think I've ever heard the Spirit of God or the voice of God, you have many times and didn't know what it was. So here it says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now here on a specific subject, the Spirit of God Himself bears witness on the inside that we are children of God. But He does this in any subject. How do you know you're a child of God? Some of us may be able to give 2 or 3 scriptures to explain to somebody, to reason it out that way. But maybe most of us will be, well, I just know. I know that I'm born again on the inside. I know that God, by His Spirit, lives within me. I know I'm changed. I know. How do you know? You have what we sometimes call the witness. People describe it differently. Just a sense of well-being, just a sense of this is right. It's like the green light. It's the calm that comes upon you as you think on it. There's various ways that you might describe it. What comes to mind for me right now is the a piece of property that she and I bought when we came back from Bible school and the first house that we built. And she had found it up there in Crete, 2 acres, 2.5 acres or something like that. She's telling me about it. It's got a for sale sign by owner on it. Show me. Let's go. She had been there. We went. She showed me the ground. I got out and walked around it. And as I walked on that ground, it's just like, Yeah. This is for us. Yeah. And the way I would describe it, it did then, and still it's a good description, it's like trying on a coat and it fit.
Praise God.
You ever try on some clothes and it's too tight, you know, or it's just bagging on you, you know. No. And you put something on and, yeah, that's it. That's the witness of the Spirit. Can you put it in words? Sometimes as you think on it, maybe pray on it, acknowledge it, words can come and you might have actual words to it. But the witness of the Spirit is, by the way, the number one way that God leads us and speaks to us. Most of the time, and I mean the vast majority of the time, it is simply put on the coat and see how it fits. And I learned there, and I've done it every time since. Before I'm ready to buy something, I go and try on the coat. Go, if it's property, go look at it, see it. If it's a car, go sit in it. If it's an airplane, go fly it or sit in it. And when you're there, maybe it's not that way for everybody, but when you're there, yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, the opposite of that will be, something's not quite right. Well, what's not right? I don't know. I can't tell you. But it just doesn't fit. There's a little pinch somewhere. Remember, still, small voice? It may be something really small. Stories and illustrations help. When we were looking after Bible school, where we might live, we needed a place to go. We moved in with Mom and Dad, 4 kids, 6 of us, into Mom and Dad's house. Yeah, it was a great time. We're looking, where can we go? And too many kids, they wouldn't rent us an apartment. We went to the trailer park, and too many kids, they wouldn't let us in there, and on and on and on. Well, we went in an old farmhouse that we looked at. And it had a pond right in the front in the country. It's got geese in the yard and all that kind of thing. This is wonderful. It's wonderful. It was near your guys' house at the time. And we thought, yeah, this is it. The rent's right and everything. This is it. And a day or so later, I went to her and said, something's wrong. And she said, really? Because I was kind of thinking, something's bothering me. All of the facts said, this is it. But something on the inside just was a little bit uncomfortable. And I can't tell you what it was. To this day, I don't know what was wrong. I don't know. I still don't know. But we determined, no. And we did not move in. We did not go to that house. Now, you can speculate, a pond, one of the little ones is going to drown in the pond. I don't know. The enemy may have had some plans. A fire, who knows? All I know is there was just a little something that didn't fit. And the Spirit was guiding me into all truth, and we did not go into that house. And I can't tell you why. I don't know. But I don't need to know. I know that we followed God. And in the process of time, we ended up building a big, beautiful house.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. And it was a blessing. We put up that house for sale when we knew God was having us come out this way. And like 2 or 3 days after that, 9/11 happened. And the real estate market went boom. But within 3 weeks, we sold our house at a very high asking price. And the realtors told us nobody's showing houses. Nobody's buying houses. They're just not moving. Well, we did. Bought new land, got started on another house. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, but truth be told, any and every subject, this is how He talks to you. This is how He leads you. God, what do you say about this? And as you think on it, you may get, I hate to use the word, but a feeling or a sense, or it may feel like a green light. Some people talk this way, green lights and red lights. And I love the teaching. I think it started with Brother Dave Duell, as far as I know. Oh, you're not at a... No, Brother Hagin used to say this. You're not at a red light waiting to go forward in the blessing of God. Assume you're always at a green light unless the Spirit of God says, Remember the Apostle Paul. He talked about going into certain countries, and he says the Spirit forbade us. He didn't have leadings where to go. He had leading where not to go. And that happened a couple times before. Then he had a dream with a man of Macedonia that said, come over here. And Paul said, I learned by the Spirit. That's where we're going next. So many times it'll be just, no, that's not it. That's not it. It's really important to obey those little things. And I've heard Pastor Nancy minister on this recently. Not just obey, but obey quickly. The more we obey and the more quickly we obey, the more the Spirit of God will lead us that way. And the sharper we'll get in our accuracy. And this is how it looks like. Some people are just so blessed, they just don't have missteps. And other people, seems like they never make a right step. Well, the one who walks from blessing to blessing to blessing is one who obeys the voice of the Spirit and does so quickly. Amen. Notice that he doesn't bear witness with your head. He bears witness with our heart. The reasoning may not make sense. Sometimes the reasoning does, sometimes it doesn't. But he leads the heart, not the head. He doesn't lead your thinking. He doesn't lead in your feelings. And here's the thing, you must quiet yourself enough to hear in your own heart. He's there and he's leading. But when there's stuff going on and we're busy and we're taking care of things and we're going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, there's distractions. I absolutely hate that YouTube is doing short videos now because I spend so much time seeing YouTube shorts. They're so darned addicting. And now I can't just sit quiet. I got to pick something up and see what comes up on the shorts. Or for you that don't do that, TikTok or Instagram. Or Facebook. How long can you go without picking up a device or turning on the TV or the radio or saying, I got to call somebody on the phone and talk. It's too quiet around here. Or go do things. Even this week, I said, Lord, how did people 200 years ago when all they had was a lamp and some books, how did they survive? How did they live? He told me, well, they went to sleep at night. Yeah, and that too. They worked hard all day. It required many more hours of work just to live. So the distractions, and you see it in our young people and our children too, it is, you can't go, you could time it. How many minutes can you go before? I mean, I sit down for lunch and I pull up my iPad so I can read the news while I'm having lunch. Or this week, I put the radio program in the ears so I can hear what's the latest thing going on. And you don't hear the Spirit of God that way with the many, many distractions. We must develop the ability to remove ourselves from distraction. We have, as a for instance, meetings coming up. Brother Keith Moore does his week of increase in October every year, and I'll be going. Now, I could see the services online. Save a lot of time, a lot of money. But I don't remove myself from the distractions. That's right. And a lot of the reason I go is I might get away from everything here. I don't see what needs to be done at my house. I don't see what needs to be done at church. And maybe we'll go out to Arnie's barn, and we'll have a wonderful lunch, and we'll look out over Lake of the Ozarks and see the beautiful setting. And in a season like that, that's why I go to meetings. Get away from the distraction. Good vacations, get away from the distractions. Some vacations are so busy, you're not getting away from the distractions. But a walk in the woods does a lot for me. And I used to do it a lot more. Now I'm taking care of Pastor Sandy, but I'll take a few minutes. Go walk the wildflower patch or something like that. Talk to God a little bit and hear. The reason we don't benefit from the Spirit within more than we do is we don't quiet the mind. I've got a mind that is always thinking. I see something in a building, and I keep thinking about, there's a better way to do that. I've invented things in my mind because I'll think on it until I come up with a better solution, a better way to do it. I'm just wired that way. I just got that kind of a brain. I'm just thinking like that all the time, you know. I don't hear from God like that, super busy. Then again, on the other hand, sometimes I'll walk through the building just looking, and I'm walking through, and then I can see a change. Every room and so on that you see in this building, I saw it in here before it went on paper, before it comes into reality here. And I receive that by quieting the mind. Music can help you do that, worship music, you know. Whatever it is for you. For me, it's the mountains, the seashore, maybe. More the mountains, the woods, things like that. I've heard both my sons talk about some of their best time is up in the deer blind. It's quiet, and they're out in nature, waiting for a deer to come along. And that's a lot of waiting. But we must develop the ability to remove distraction. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6. This is our last scripture. More than anything, you're looking to the Spirit within you, the witness on the inside. If you can quiet the mind, you can hear the still small voice or get that sense of it fits or it don't fit. When you sense something fit, I will often say it out loud and listen to myself say it. And my ear can pick up if that sounds right, that sounds right, that sounds right, or no, that's not it. 1 John 5, 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. And remember, we said he's the Spirit that will guide you into all truth. How does he do that? By far, most of the time, it is this witness. It's a witness. Sometimes somebody will tell a story and you might look to the people with them that might have been there. Is that true? They don't need to do anything except a small nod. They don't need to tell you the details. A nod is all it takes, and they've borne witness. Maybe that's another way to describe it. How does the Spirit nod? You think on something, you say something, and do you sense the nod of the Spirit? Yeah. The predominant work of the Holy Spirit in us is bearing witness. And there will be times when people say, I heard the Spirit say, and they may mean more bearing witness than actual sentences and words. It can develop to where you had the witness, and then words can come from that, words from your own spirit. Remember, he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Back Romans 8:16 said that. That's where the witness is. It's in your spirit. It bears witness with your spirit. That means your spirit knows some things and the Spirit confirms those things. So it's not like you're clueless. Your head may be clueless. Your head may be all over the map, but your spirit can be already on track. And the Spirit confirms what's in your spirit. You will hear people say, well, what's in your heart? They mean, don't pay attention to all of this. Just start getting quiet and looking down in here. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's his predominant job. Then it's our job to follow that truth and to obey and to do so quickly. Too often we think we need some great work of power or manifestation or gift of the Spirit when we already have available to us the witness of the Spirit on the inside. In what you might call a pastoral counseling situation, if somebody's asking me questions, I may say, well, what's your heart telling you? What bears witness with your spirit? What have you got? And I may say, yeah, that's right. Or I may say, here, we need to think about doing this, this, and this because of Scripture. And I've heard many people say, yeah, I kind of had that already. I sort of knew that. And then I'm confirming voice in addition to it. Nothing wrong with speaking to the right people about some things, but the Spirit bears witness with your spirit. You often already know. Probably most of the questions you and I have, we already know the answer. We just don't like the answer. You'd be like Jesus prayed, Lord, if it be possible, this cup pass from me. Oh, is there another way? But you got to do what he did. Nevertheless, your will, not my will, right? This witness, this guide never leaves us. He is with us and within us 24/7. Amen. If you're a little bit sleepless one night and need an answer, the guide into all truth is there with you and right where you are. Don't even have to get up out of bed. Although you might, I do sometimes, might walk in the dark in my house, pray, listen, get answers, but 24/7. So again, don't overlook the Spirit that's within you. Most of the time, the vast majority of the time, that's where your leading is, that's where your answer is. And from time to time, there will be Spirit upon. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. There's a sense of peace within the room right now. Even that's the witness of the Spirit. That's trying on the jacket and it fits. May the Spirit of peace abide upon you as you quiet your heart, quiet your mind, and look for that Spirit of peace. Look to be guided into all truth. Thank you for that, Lord. Even now you're working that. That's the witness of the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, there are many that do have questions, and most of them already have their answer. And if they would be truthful with themselves, they know they have the answer. So go forth from this place and do it quickly. And you'll find great fruit and blessing in following. And as you do, the sensitivity in your spirit to the witness of the Spirit and the voice of the Spirit will increase. And you'll go from faith to faith and from victory to victory, higher and higher and higher, because the Spirit of God is attempting to lead you into greater and greater and greater things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody in the house want to say, I received that? I received that. Yes, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I get to this spot right here where it feels like this, and I just don't want to quite leave it. Hallelujah. Ask your question that you have of the Lord right now. You'll hear an answer. Close your eyes. Ask your question. Yes. I just heard my answer. Yes. Now, how many, just by lifting your hand, we won't ask you about it at all, but believe you just heard your answer on the inside? I did. Show me your hand if you got your answer. There you go. Lots of hands. If you're not sure that you did, just stay with it. Can you tell how we're in a wonderful, sweet spot right now? We're not distracted by all kinds of other things. It's one of the great things about coming to church. But if you'll find a time and a place where you can be in this kind of an environment again, without the distractions, pick it up again, your question, and let God minister that to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Sandy over here keeps asking to get her up. She's going to walk. She's going to walk. And I'm looking for the leading of the Spirit as to today's the day to do that. I believe you and I agree. Hallelujah. You will walk again. If she can stand on her feet just a little bit, it'll change our lives. We won't need the lift to lift her out of bed anymore. We can just kind of shift her wheelchair to chair to the bathroom. You don't think about stuff like that until someone can't. Into the airplane.
That's right.
Yeah. She'll be able to travel commercial that way. If we don't need a trailer full of equipment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to Branson. She's going.
Hallelujah.
We're going to have to bring... We're going to be bringing a bunch of equipment, and we want to be free of that equipment. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel like I am really blessed to have been in church today. Amen. God is doing great things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.